Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. My special guest today is Ray Lutz, the founder of Citizens Oversight, and among the many things that Citizens Oversight has been doing, they've been very active in election integrity. Ray has gone around the country observing vote counts, and he's had a lawsuit against San Diego's Registrar of Voters. And now he's here today to talk to us about that, but also a piece of legislation of concern regarding voting integrity in Sacramento. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mary. I'm glad to be here.
So the bill is AB 840. Tell us why we should be concerned about this.
AB 840 was one reason we've got to be concerned is at the 11th hour, they modified this bill. And maybe this is the way this assembly, our legislature works in general, but it's a very disgusting thing to see. And as you're watching it, on August 24th, they amended this bill substantially by adding a whole big section to it. And this is after all of the hearings and everything else has happened. And now it's going through the final vote and maybe even being, so far, there hasn't been much objection to it.
Now, I just looked this up, and as of noon on Friday, the bill is still awaiting action by the full Senate, after which I believe it would have to go back to the Assembly to approve the amendments and then on to the governor's desk. So, listeners, there is still time for you to weigh in and let your legislators know if you have concerns about this bill, AB 840. So tell us what the changes were that were put into this bill that was originally not controversial that's made it of concern to an election integrity activist.
The things that they changed, they added a section about election code 15360, which deals with the 1% manual tally. Now, that manual tally audit is done at the end of the election. That is during the canvassing period, they call it, after the election day. And then during the next about a month is the canvassing period before the election is certified. And during that time, they do a manual count of the actually taking the paper ballots out and having people manually tally those and compare them with the computer result.
Very important because we all know that computer results can sometimes be tampered with. It's happened in other places. Won't go into all the details now, but I've certainly won national awards in the past for exposing in my reports problems with these electronic machines and even interviewing a hacker from inside the Diebold Election Company on exactly how they used software to flip votes.
So it's a good practice to have these audits. California has a pretty good law if they actually would follow it, and that is that they are supposed to take 1% of the precinct's sample of all of the ballots and then tally those. Precincts are used as a work unit. This is usually the thing that they process precinct by precinct, but sometimes they may do them batch by batch. There's other ways to do it. But it's basically work unit by work unit. The law says you're supposed to use 1%. And 1%, when you think about it, is whenever you do a percentage, it's 1% of everything, not 1% of part of it. You don't say 1% of half of it. That isn't
right. You can't just say we're going to do 1% of precincts in La Jolla and ignore East County or something.
This is actually what they've done in this bill. They said that we want to do 1%, but only of the ballots that were done at the polling places or were done very early vote-by-mail ballots and already processed by election night, excluding all of the vote-by-mail ballots that are either brought into the polling place or weren't quite received yet, were placed in the mail or brought in by election day.
Well, that's pretty significant because, of course, in today's news cycle, with everybody getting news online and the internet spreading things viral, anything that happens in the news can change votes in those final days. So a vote-by-mail ballot cast, the day before the election and brought to the polling place conceivably could have a very different trend from ones that were cast weeks earlier and mailed in.
Yeah, it's not fair to treat those any differently. Now, this is just the audit process. All of these ballots are supposedly all tabulated, including in the final count. But what we're talking about is the fairness here of also including these ballots, all of them within a random sampling to make sure that these sections of, groupings of ballots are not tampered with. If you know that the later vote-by-mail ballots and the provisionals are not going to be audited, Then if you're a hacker, you go, well, that's the one we're going to hit. We're just going to hit those areas because they're never going to be ever checked.
Makes sense. And, now, you've been involved in litigation on this, which we'll go into in a minute, but what does the bill do that has you so concerned?
Well, the bill basically says that they're not going to include those later vote by mails or provisionals within the 1% manual tally ever.
So if people are concerned about this, they should be reaching out to their legislators or reaching out to the governor and asking that this bill not be signed or that that provision be removed. And it's likely to be moving very quickly as we near the end of the legislative session, folks.
Yeah, it's AB 840. We're hoping that we can stop it. We want people to be aware of what this issue is, though, because this is a sneaky group. It's called the California Association of Clerks and Election Officials, who put this in so that the election officials could have less work to do and undermine the credibility and the confidence that we have in our elections. You know, this is after all of the Russian hacking and, other things that are going on. Now they want to reduce the amount of auditing that they're doing. This is really outrageous.
What's the reason given for putting that in there?
Well, they say, well, this is how everybody's doing it, and so we're doing it that way, and so that's the way we're going to standardize.
So if everybody speeds down our highway, should we just raise the speed limit to 90 miles an hour? That doesn't make sense.
This is what we said. Just because you're doing it doesn't mean it's right. And just because someone else does it, when the officer pulls you over and says you were speeding, it doesn't work to say, yeah, but look at all the other people that are speeding. You don't deserve a ticket, officer.
That's right.
That's not going to fly.
Now, we did talk to Michael Vu about this. He's San Diego's Registrar of Voters. He says he didn't have anything to do with this, that it was this other organization.
KCO, which is as C-A-C-E-O.
That was behind it. Who knows? And he has repeatedly claimed that he didn't do anything wrong, but I understand that a judge found otherwise. Way, tell us about the lawsuit you filed.
Well, when we detected, and this took a number of years for us to even figure out what was going on, we detected that they were excluding these 285,000 ballots from the audit. And we said, please include those in the audit by drawing some more batches. It would have been 8 more batches that were drawn. Not a big deal, that you could count 8 precincts out of 1,600. I mean, some people say they want the elections all hand-counted. We're only talking about 8 out of 800 that were left. And we're saying count those 8 by hand just to make sure everything is sound. And he said, no, he wouldn't do it. So then we said, fine, we'll take you to court. We did. We went through the trial, and we won, largely.
So for future elections, he's going to have to do this, according to the court order?
According to the court order, the judgment is that he has to include all of the vote-by-mail ballots in the audit.
Basically, this law would be circumventing what the judge said?
Yeah, that it would. And they've very sneakily done this by saying that this is about provisionals only. Now, in our lawsuit, the judge did not rule in our favor for provisionals, and this was surprising to us because the provisionals have the same logic behind them as the vote-by-mail ballots. You want to include those in this audit. He said that he was understanding our request, this was the county's position, that we were asking for even the unaccepted provisionals to be included in the audit, which makes no sense.
No.
We just were asking for the accepted and validated provisionals, once they're all accepted and tabulated, to be then included. And that was only like 2 batches that they would do.
Seems very reasonable.
So we didn't win that one by this judge, but we did appeal that part of it, and they appealed the other part, so it's an appeals process.
So you could still prevail on that, potentially, in court.
We could still prevail on that. However, I think it might be mooted if the legislature says that they don't have to do it at all.
So basically an end run around it that this legislature is attempting to do.
And they're explaining it in the... And they have an analysis of these bills.
Yeah.
The analysis says, oh, this is for provisionals and we don't want to have this done at the end of the canvas. It'd be bad to do it at the end after the canvas. No one says that. The bill doesn't only say leave out provisionals. It actually leaves out everything from what they call the semifinal official canvas, which is the end of election night. Everything else is left out. It's all later vote-by-mail ballots and provisionals would be left out.
Now, we should mention that this bill...
It's AB, it's the Assembly Bill 840.
One of the co-authors on it is Lorena Gonzalez, who is a progressive Democratic representative here from San Diego County. So if people have concerns, that's another avenue would be to voice the concerns to the author. I understand you've reached out to her on this way, and what response have you had?
Well, I tried to. I called her office, and we've asked everybody who, you know, could call. We have actually had a very big response, a very gratifying response from activists in the election integrity field who have just swamped these authors and the committees with requests not to pass this. We may be able to block it. But it was only a stroke of luck that we got this, because one election official from Inyo County, who is an honest election official, called me and said, did you know about this?
Really? And so you wouldn't have even known.
We wouldn't have even known, because it was being snuck through.
In the dark of the night.
Just luckily, we got word of it, and the troops have come out, and we're at the point now where we might be able to very successfully block this.
Very good. So next question, Ray, is, while there's certainly a theoretical possibility that if you look at every one of these ballots in question, it could potentially change an outcome, have you seen any evidence in the ballot counting or the ballots that you observed in San Diego to suggest that if all of these were included, these provisionals and so forth, that it actually could have changed the outcome of who won the presidential race, which is the one we're talking about here, in San Diego County?
Well, it certainly could, because the race was very close between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. It was only 3.75%, around 16,000 ballots. And they were leaving out 285,000 from the audit. So that means out of that 285,000, you have to wonder, could somebody sneak in 16,000 very easily?
Did you observe anything, Ray, to make you believe that there could have been tampering to the degree that it actually might have influenced the outcome in the election? We're talking about the Democratic primary between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. In either the early ballots cast or these later provisionals and mail-in ballots that were brought to the polls?
Yes. Basically, we do think that there's things to wonder about here, primarily in the early vote-by-mail ballot set, because those we were not able to observe as well, because we did not have our team positioned in the 10 days prior to the election as well. We were basically, people were trying to get out the vote and so forth and campaigning for their candidate, and didn't want to go in and watch them do the counting of the ballots. At this particular registrar here in San Diego, they're also using whiteout to modify the ballots before they were scanned.
Yeah, I think that was shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, this is something you're not supposed to do that, but they admit to it.
I mean, they claimed one of the reasons for that was if you had people who were voting, let's say they were voting in the Democratic primary and they weren't really a Democrat or an independent voter, or people who were allowed to vote, that it was okay to just wipe these out.
Well, they may say whatever they want. The problem is they don't have a written procedure. They don't have any reports. They don't have any logging.
Did anybody observe those?
They don't use two people looking at a time. They did not let us get close enough to see what's going on.
Wow.
And so, you know, that combined with the shredding truck that we noticed nearby, you know, it says, you know, to make sure everything comes out the way you want.
Which Vu, I should say, we asked about that. He's claimed it was just shredding, you know, sample ballots and extra voter registration materials, but who really knows?
Well, the problem is that please don't have the shredding truck come around during this time, because then we have to worry about it. it's just not something we want to see. So that, and there's another reason that we really suspect that. They did do a random selection of 1% of the batches and that first early vote-by-mail set. There was 723 batches. They chose 8. That's when we said, gee, you're not choosing the other, you know, there's another 285,000 ballots. You need to choose some more batches for that. And they said, no, they weren't going to do it. But when they chose those batches, they chose 8. Then we said, okay, give us the report for... Actually, we want the report ahead of time. It's what we call the snapshot protocol, which I developed so that we can really carefully watch these audits. What you want to get is a complete report of all precincts and all batches, if they do it that way, with the totals for all the races in each one of those, so that they can't change it once they pull them. So when they do the random selection of these precincts and batches, then you have ahead of time the report. Yeah, you can look those up. But if you don't have that report ahead of time, and they pull them randomly, guess what? They can have their inside guy go back in, manipulate the results, and fix those up so that they're going to match then. So we wanted the report ahead of time. So I asked him, please give us the report before you do this random selection. No, we can't do that. We're not going to be able to give you that report. Hmm. Okay, fine. So then after we filed the lawsuit, he hired 40 people to work for a week to pre-select and pull out all of these ballots from the batches and assemble them into precincts. And then even then, the count did not match the computer report that we did have ahead of time for the precincts. So talking about the whiteout, we're talking about this manipulation, 40 people for a week, the last minute change from batches to precincts. There's a lot of reasons that, and also this was the only set of ballots where Hillary Clinton won and won by a landslide. She won by like 58% to 42.
Wow. So all the later ones that came in, you're saying Bernie Sanders won?
Bernie Sanders won the polls ballots by the opposite, 58 to 42.
So do you think it's possible that Bernie Sanders actually won San Diego County?
It's possible if they actually did that tampering, because usually people think, well, the early vote by mail ballots are going to be indicative for the rest of the race. In fact, the news media reports on those at 8 o'clock and everyone goes, oh, okay, well, we're doomed. You know, whatever.
Oh, that used to be the case, but it isn't always anymore.
Well, in this case, it was dramatically different than the polling place ballots flipped by 16%. I mean, usually I can imagine it's off by a few percent because, you know, the early voters may be more conservative. Maybe, you know, they're more diligent about voting early.
It's possible, you know, something in the news cycle affected a lot of voters at the last minute, but that's an awfully big difference.
It's a very big difference. And between the polling place ballots where Bernie Sanders won, the later vote by mail ballots were about 50-50, and the provisionals were very heavily landslide toward Bernie Sanders, 66 to, you know, 34. So it was basically, if you just looked at the later ballots, not including the early vote-by-mail ballots, Bernie Sanders won by landslide.
So if Bernie Sanders had somehow won San Diego County, and the count didn't reflect that, if he had won, and everyone knew about that right away, do you think that could have, could it have been enough to in some way change the outcome of the presidential election?
Well, think about it, because had the early vote-by-mail ballots come out in favor of Bernie Sanders, that would be the most significant, because those are reported on 8 o'clock. And then everybody would go, oh my, Bernie Sanders is winning by a landslide in San Diego. And then he would win at the end, because it was just a hair's breadth, 3.75%, only 16,000 ballots out of some 400,000 of the Democratic Party side. And so this would have, I think, been a big factor in the decision-making process of Bernie Sanders if he said, oh, well, gee, I won in San Diego. Maybe I should look into those other counties in California. We're number two in the state.
Yeah, because if he had won California,
even if he thought, you know, it was close in California, he may have made a decision, not given up so fast, and he may maybe at the convention, it would have been an open convention and there would have been a different decision-making process there instead of the slam dunk DNC controlled situation that we later found out they were completely biased in favor of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Democratic National Committee. That's definitely
We know from those emails that were then provided to WikiLeaks that they were biased toward Hillary Clinton and against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC chair, was quite openly promoting Clinton over Sanders, which is a violation of the DNC bylaws.
Even in California, you have Alex Padilla, the Secretary of State, who's supposed to be somewhat nonpartisan, who was campaigning for Hillary Clinton, which I found very disagreeable. By the way, he has endorsed this change, this AB 840 change. Padilla has come out for that.
Interesting.
And so they are pushing this, and it's like, oh, well, the Secretary of State wants this. This is what the legislature says.
And yet
it
seems so short-sighted to me to do that. I mean, even if somehow it favored your candidate this time around, that's, first of all, that's dishonest. And secondly, who's to say who might have control of certain registrars' offices in future elections? So it just seems like it's opening the door for the potential for tampering, even if it didn't occur this time around, and we really don't know whether it did or not. Now, we should say this is not the first controversial election that Michael Vu, San Diego's registrar, has overseen. Tell us a little bit about his history in Cuyahoga, Ohio.
Well,
take us back to the presidential election that put George W. Bush.
2004. Michael Vu was a registrar of voters. They call him it's a board of elections. It's a little bit different structure that they have. But he was in charge of it there. Two of his subordinates were convicted of absentee voter fraud, actually pre-stacking the ballots. It was like Kerry, Bush, you know, all the Kerrys grouped together, all the Bushes grouped together.
Actual election fraud.
They came in and they said, you know, why are you pre-stacking these? And they said, well, we want the result to come out right so it matches the computer report. And so we're just making sure that we don't have a lot of extra work to do.
It's exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to
do. You're supposed to try to find stuff that's wrong, not cover it up. And in fact, you know, if you look at it, the 1% manual tally system in California does much of the same thing. We went up to Los Angeles in review of how they do it. And if they review and count a precinct by hand, and the result is, say, either right or maybe off by one or two votes, then they just report it as a variance, no problem. But if they are off by more than that, they go into another room, they remark it, and run it back through the computer scanner, come up with a new report that could be very different from the original report. And then, of course, it compares correctly. And then they say, no problem.
So in Cuyahoga County, when the judge found these two individuals who worked for their registrar's office or whatever they call their election official's office guilty of election fraud, and I believe these were felonies, maybe later reduced to a misdemeanor, but these were crimes, the judge stated that he was not sure that they had acted alone, that they might have been working for someone higher up. And of course, I mean, the highest person in that office was Michael Vu, who wound up leaving Cuyahoga after that.
He was asked to leave, not, they say, because of that. And then he was rehired here in San Diego within 2 months, a much bigger county, somewhat as a reward, I think, for doing that. But, you know, then if you ask him, he'll say, well, that was all reversed on appeal. They really weren't convicted. But really, they admitted that they pre-stacked the ballots. But this reversal was done because the courts are sometimes corrupt. And so the corrupted court reversed that.
So it was certainly questionable. So he came here as the assistant registrar of voters at the time.
And by the way, Miriam, that was the election. This was when Kerry should have probably won Ohio, and it was given to them by the Diebold system president who said, I will give you Ohio.
Yeah, and it was the state that won the election for George W. Bush, and
that's
basically
right.
That county alone put him over.
And there was a book written about it by Richard Hayes Phillips called Witness to a Crime, where he went back in and looked at many, many counties, photographed these ballots, and recounted them, came up with a different result.
Wow. And let's talk about Diebold a minute. I once interviewed a whistleblower inside the Diebold Election Company who told me exactly how they were asked to put cards into machines, voting machines, to fix defective clocks, except the clocks weren't defective. And every place they did this, it flipped votes from counties that had always voted Democratic to suddenly, miraculously, they were voting Republican. He was ashamed of his role in this, and I interviewed him as a whistleblower. And within 2 days after that interview, the CEO of Diebold, who had promised to deliver the election to Bush, he was a campaign co-chair for the Bush campaign, had resigned in disgrace. The shareholders had filed a lawsuit very shortly after that. Diebold got out of the election business, sold off its voting machines. The Washington Post ran a story saying these machines were, you know, less reliable than slot machines. And I won a national award for that reporting. And yet, who did San Diego hire as their registrar of voters before Michael Vu got elevated to the job?
Deborah Seiler, the vice president of sales for Diebold Systems.
Yeah, so you have to wonder. I at the time that those two were hired, I remember
and they
election.
They bought a bunch of Diebold machines here too.
Yeah, some of which our Secretary of State later decertified, the paperless, the worst of them. But we still have the optical scan voting machines, which can be tampered with. There is a paper trail. It's a little harder, but still the cards out of those. There's the possibility that they could go into a central tabulator and flip votes. So it is a very serious situation. So, Ray, for people who are upset about this and they want their vote to count and they want integrity restored to the system, what action can they take immediately on this AB 840, and what else can they do beyond that?
Okay, well, of course, the AB 840 is a matter of contacting your legislators, senators, assembly people, and maybe, you know, when it gets up to the governor's desk, if we still have time, we'll be addressing it there. We'll be having this on our front page at citizensoversight.org if you want to come and visit that and see what the status is. Now, in general, though, I want to mention that we do have a bright light at the end of this very, very dark tunnel, and that is that the newer generation of voting machine, of election machines are using, generally we want to push them toward paper ballots. And when they scan those ballots, they take a photograph of both sides of the ballot and they make a full image of the ballot.
Good.
And all of these images can be then made available. We got those from Dane County, Wisconsin. All of the ballots were made available on their website.
Do we have those in San Diego
yet? Not yet, because they don't have that great of a machine. But every new machine, as they move into these new machines, and when they do move into that, we've told them, look, you don't even have to do the 1% manual tally to the same degree. If we have all of the ballots available for review, then we can do our own third-party review, and we're encouraging them to use a third-party 100% redo of the count, because it's very easy to run them back through a service provider that would then take those ballot images, reprocess them, probably lickety-split. You could do the whole county within just, you know, a number of minutes. You'd have a result from another different third party.
Very good. Well, it's great to hear that there may finally be a solution to this.
And that is what we call the Open Ballot Initiative. So if people want to visit the openballotinitiative.org, that's where we're pushing on that particular issue.
Very good. Listeners, if you've just tuned in, we've been speaking with Ray Lutz, the founder of Citizens Oversight and an election integrity activist. If you want to find out more about their work or more about AB 840 and its status, you can go to citizensoversight.org. Ray, I'm going to let you have the final word today. What else would you like our listeners to know about election integrity in California and San Diego?
Election integrity is one of the most important issues we can work on, because if you don't have integrity of your election process, then you're not going to be able to make any progress on any other issue. This is different from voter fraud issues that have been brought up by Trump, even though he calls it election integrity. His project is voter suppression. He wants to suppress voters from coming out. And that's why they're going through this election or voter fraud concept, which is really unsupported by any evidence that
Correct.
It occurs in any large way. The election integrity that we're looking at has to do with the possibility that the election officials themselves or their workers or an outside hacker can get in and manipulate the final vote in the central tabulator by
right.
changing thousands of votes at a crack.
And, of course, an outside hacker, I mean, in the old days we worried about political parties hacking, and today, of course, the concern has extended to foreign governments, notably Russia. So, Ray, I think it's very important what you're doing. I want to thank you for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you very much for having me.